In chapter 9, which can be found on page 375-376, chapter 7, the Alter Rebbe introduced this concept, just barely talking about tshuva ilah, the higher level of tshuva. At the end, after you talked again, great length of what the definition of tshuva tata is, the lower level of tshuva. In chapter 8, so he focuses in more on this, and the main focal point of teshuva ilah is hamekes hadas, that a person use their head. And it comes out, whereas tshuva tata is really an expression of emotion, the person wants to get back to Hashem, he's propelled and feels a need to be close to Hashem, it's an expression of his love of Hashem and a fear of being separated from Hashem, that's emotion. Where so tshuva ilah is, and that's going to be the what he refers to as returning the lower hay. This idea of coming close and attaching oneself to God in this lower way is what he referred to in the beginning of chapter 4 as teshuva is tashuv hay, returning the hay. So you have tshuva tata is returning the lower hay, connecting it with the yud kei vav. And then in this one, he doesn't actually say it yet, but then you have the higher level of teshuva, which is tshuva ilah, which is based on intellect, which that would be returning the hay to the yud, getting back into that whole grievance. That's what he's going to talk about now over here, this idea of bina, using your head as the higher form of doing teshuva. And this is, it's we'll talk, let him do the talking about why it's called higher and that kind of stuff. Ubira inyan kemosha kasa bizarre tekune bakama mukaimais. This idea, which we're introducing now at the end of chapter 8, when he says over here that you have the advantage of a baal tshuva over a tzaddik, and that they feel the connection even in a greater way. Okay, and he brought in the idea that the ihu ben yud ke bina was the expression that was mentioned in the Zohar before. So now, if we're going to explain and expand this concept more, the bina I tshuva ilah ve'emrei vetzis alav freichim. Bina is tshuva ilah. Not that he says, it's an interesting thing. He doesn't say tshuva ilah comes from bina.
Saying bina
he
is.
He says bina is tshuva ilah. The mother bird hovering over the chicks. What's the idea? We'll talk about the mother bird first. We know that the relation to development of the emotions is based solely on the development of the intellect. This he's been talking about, he's mentioned this way back in chapter 3 of Sefer Shalbeini. And he says it again in chapter 6, that a child's development is very little, and therefore the emotions are very wild, and then as the child grows up, the adult, you have more, less wild, I'm not going to say tame per se, but you have less wild emotions based on the intellect, and a person's likes grow as their intellect grows. So here now, what are we talking about? We're talking about understanding Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe is going to say, well, there is this thing about leis machshava tefisa beklal, no thought can grasp Hashem at all. So then what would be the point of teshuva ilah? What would be the point of trying to develop a relationship with Hashem based on understanding? The world, the world's religions are all based on emotion.
All of them.
They're all emotional experiences.
Yes, they are.
Why would anybody be a Christian? If you sat and analyzed this, not that I'm thinking anyway from any Christian person who might be listening to this on the online, but if you analyze any, if you analyze Christianity, and you sit and you look, the book, their books are filled rife with contradictions, and there's a religion that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So how is it that there's 1.3 billion Christians?
Right.
It's because there's this emotional thing going on. And I can understand that, and since it is that I'm not relating, leis machshava tefisa bei, no thought can grasp an Hashem, so then my relationship to Hashem through emotions that makes sense. Because I'm not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just feeling it. I'm in the groove. I have this like love thing going on or a fear thing going on. And that's really what he was talking about when he was talking about tshuva tata either. So I'm not going to shake my head no and say, well, Judaism do that. Judaism does do that. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of the world's Hasidim are called Chagas Hasidis, which is Chesed Gevurah Teferis, where the relationship to Hashem is also based primarily on an emotional relationship. And the Chesedis, which is taught by Chagas Chesedim, is also primarily based on emotion. It's an emotional experience. So I'm not going to knock a relationship that a person has with Hashem based on an emotion. That's fine. Okay, and you might even say that you could have an essential emotional relationship. The relationship between a parent and a child. Okay, the parent could give you a zillion reasons why this kid is like not worth it. And the parent, the child could give the reason why the parent is like, oh, my father, oh, yeah, blah, blah. Okay? So, but there's still that relationship,
still bond,
which is much deeper than any reason.
Right.
And that's terrific. So if a person, I'm going to say, if a person does have a relationship with to Hashem as in an emotional experience, gives them to hate. It's terrific. But we're talking here and now about going past that. We're going to use our intellect. And again, we want to say, the Rebbe said it many times in numerous Maimarim. The one that was distributed before the Rebbe's passing, the Ata Tetzava Maimar, talks about the essential relationship that exists between a Jew, which is not based on emotion, it's not based on intellect, it's based simply because there's this, Hashem chose us. And it's a choice which was made not based on any specific reason. It was based on a choice because this is the way it was supposed to be. And our relationship back with Hashem is also very essential. But here now we're talking about getting closer to Hashem based on intellect. And so he uses that's why he uses the expression, V'ha'emrei vetzis ala afroichim, the mother bird hovering over the chicks. The chicks in this instance being the emotions. And the mother bird, and we use the expression hovering, because hovering is a very superficial thing. Because when a person is having an emotional experience, the intellect turns off. And it's talked about in the books about how to do his boininess and the effect of his boininess. So the first one, so it says in Hayyim, that there's different types of his boininess. There's the hisbayinus that a person's supposed to do after they get through learning a concept. They make sure that they understand it, they have all the ideas cleared, it's a very set, and they have the questions have all been put away, they have everything, they have the mimer clear. That's one. Then there's another hisbayinus that a person's supposed to do before davening. And in that one, the person's supposed to feel like the expression is the Reichkeit, supposed to feel the sincereness of this concept, to feel the godliness of it. And then when a person's in the middle of davening, the hisbayinus that a person's doing on, well, what am I doing here? Okay, these are all three levels of three different types of hisbayinus. But while a person is in the middle of the hisbayinus, while a person is thinking, they're not feeling anything because they're too busy thinking. It's only after they stop the thinking, stop the concentrating. That then allows the emotion to be developed. If a person's heart is going thump, the thump, the thump, the thump, the thump, while they're in the middle of thinking, it's not real. Because it can't be, because emotion and intellect are opposite one to the other. Emotion, intellect is very, very systematic, very calculated, very ordered. And emotion is a lot of energy and a lot of intensity and tremendous expression and go and move. So that you can't do both simultaneously. Your body won't let you. You can't sit quietly and run around wildly at the same time. Mm. That one you can't do. So the love that so what's in a relationship is that the understanding, he understands the concept. But now we want to have the emotion for it. So what happens to the intellect when the person is now experiencing the emotion? So the intellect is now taking, I don't want to say takes a back seat, because we want to use the word hover. It's sort of like it's still there, but it's an external expression. It's not where the person's focus is, but it's still providing the impetus. Because why is this person now experiencing this emotion? It's because of the hisbayanus. It's because of the thinking that the person was doing. Just because the person stopped thinking doesn't mean that what he was thinking about disappeared.
Right.
That still has an effect on them. That's while they're still having the emotion. So that's why he says Bina is teshuva, because if a person is in that groove, that the person is he used before the expression Hamekis Adas, which means bound their thoughts with the Torah and the concepts we're talking about over here. So the word bound means that there's a tremendous connection there, one which is unending. That's what it is to have Bina. Okay, Bina doesn't just mean yeah, I understand. Okay, the Alter Rebbe refers to that as Dimyon Shav. That's just some kind of fantasy. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bina means to really be able to feel it. Okay, and then you take it one step further. The Alter Rebbe says that's Bina's where it is good, but you need to have Das. Because what does Das do? Das is the bridge. That's how whatever is coming from the intellect gets into the emotion. That the person feels, what's Das different than Bina? Bina is, I can feel this. This is right, as I understand it, it's 100%, I got it. Das says, what does this mean to me?
Brings it a part of you.
Yeah, how is this me?
Right.
That's what Das is. Right. Okay? And it is by far, it's the most obscure, it's the least talked about in Hasidus. There is a very good set of Maimorim from the Rebbe Rashab that were said in the year Tafresh Ayin, which is 1910. Eter. There's five or six Maimorim that the Rebbe Rashab talks about the modus operandi of what is Das. Hmm. That's sort of like the handbook to Das, because it's tough. And the Rebbeim sort of like, they stay away from it. They talk about Chochmah, they talk about Bina. But to actually put it into practice and to use it and to do it, okay, they kind of like laid off on that. The Rebbe Rashab went full force on it. But really only in that one place. Okay. And not that, maybe I've come across it in the Rebbe's writings, but I don't remember on the top of my head right now. So that's why we say that Bina is Tshuva Ilah. Not Tshuva Ilah comes from Bina, But when a person relates to Hashem in a way of Bina, they're there. Mm-hmm. Because what is it that we want to say? What is it that we want to see? What is it that what it means that a person is on the level of Teshuvah Ilah? They're not involved with anything possible that could take them away from the relationship with Hashem. Never mind that they're not repeating the same sin over again. That one we left behind way back when. Here we're talking about, this is the level of what we call a Baal Tshuva. You know, it's not the expression which is brought into the idea of a Baal Tshuva. Really, the Alter Rebbe really wanted to call his Talmidim Baalei Tshuva. He didn't want it. The word Chassidim was invented by the Misnagdim of Shklov. And since it was that we were the Chassidim and they were the Misnagdim, and they said, the word Chassid means pious. So the Alter Rebbe said, okay, if they're going to call us the pious ones and they're in the opposition to it, so fine, good, Ashgacha Pratis, we'll be the pious ones. Okay, if it would have been that they would have called themselves the pious ones and us the Misnagdim, so the Alter Rebbe would never would have said that, because he's not going to define himself as just being in opposition. And it's an interesting thing. The word Misnagid was a word which was proudly used up until, I think, the late 80s, early 90s. When suddenly,
really?
Yes. Until suddenly the word Yeshivish and Litvish came around. Before that, it was Misnagid. What did you say? I'm sorry?
Nobody
says I'm a Misnagid anymore. Okay, but when I came around in 1976, that was it. He said, oh, you're learning how to be. He said, I'm a Misnagid. You know, so the term Yeshivish, Litvish, that didn't come around until much later. Okay, so but what's a Baal Tshuva? What do you want to say?
The old timers
still use it. Yeah, sure. That's right. So, because they can't get used to this, like, new stuff, a Yeshivish. You know, I'm Yeshivish. So,
I have a cousin that's really not Misnagid.
But he calls himself a Misnagid.
He's a Misnagid.
I'm a Misnagid, yeah. Understood.
He's Yeshivish, but...
And it's interesting because Vermel Lipsker used to say, when I was in Yeshiva back in the 70s, so there's no such thing as Misnagid anymore.
I was going to say.
Because they're not in opposition. They're just doing their own thing, and we're doing our own thing. There's no opposition.
The Rebbe said that when Rav Aaron Zatzal was next to him, he says, there goes the last Misnagid.
Okay.
Wow. There's a lot of crossover.
I didn't hear that.
So he can.
There's a lot of crossover and stuff now. It's like.
The whole world.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody learns.
Everything's a big mishmash.
Yeah.
The very fact that they dress like us now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what do you mean?
They're wearing kapatas in Lakewood, yes.
Oh, yeah, like a rub, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Isn't this a good thing?
Of course it's a good thing.
This is like close to getting...
All good things are good things. The homogenization of the religious world? Sure, no problem.
Well, it's good for the base of Middash, right? We need it.
I'm not going to posken that we're a long way away yet. No, I'm not going there. We're very close, yes. Mashiach is ready to come right now, as far as I'm concerned. If you ask me to posken, that's what I would posken. Mashiach is ready to come right now. Okay, so this is the idea of Bina. The Alter Rebbe wanted to call his Talmidim Baalei Teshuvah, because the word Baal means master. Now, how do you master something?
You've done it.
You've done it how many times?
101.
Bunches of times, bunches. Yes. So there it is. It's like Mark Twain said, quitting smoking's easy. I've done it dozens of times. Okay? So a Baal Tshuva, not a guy who did Tshuva once.
Right.
Oh, hey, this guy did something wrong once. And so he did Tshuva for it. He never did it ever again. You're going to call this guy a Baal Tshuva? David HaMelech did something kind of sort of wrong once. He wrote the Book of Tehillim to open up the gate to Tshuva. He said, now I'm a Baal Tshuva. Ha, a nechlik a tug. He's a Baal Tshuva. Okay, did tshuva one time.
He's such a poltron.
He did tshuva one time. It doesn't make him a master of it. He's still a rookie as far as I'm concerned when it comes to tshuva.
I'd love to be such a rookie.
Okay, so he got rookie of the year and MVP too.
Okay, it's like, thanks.
Sorry. Yeah, handed down from Shemaim. Yeah.
So sad. So my roommate.
Yeah, but he did get called on the carpet for calling them Tillum songs, you know.
All right, fine, fair enough.
You know. Anyway, so the
somebody on his level can get
but a guy who gets up, picks himself out of the mud, works his way up, falls down again into the mud, picks himself up, and he's doing this constant. This is a Baal Tshuva. Okay, somebody who's constantly ready to work on themselves, and just as it is. So, and the word tshuva, as we said before, doesn't mean necessarily on a virus, because the word tshuva means to come back.
Yeah.
So here it is, this person, because they're relating to Hashem, not just in an emotional way, but they're relating to Hashem in an intellectual way. And since it is leis machshava tefisa beklal, so you sit and you think about some very deep Hasidic concept, something really esoteric. Okay, and you get to the point where, okay, as much as I'm going to understand this, I got it. Okay? And then what? You take a look at it again and realize, oh, there's more to it.
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
So now I got it. Okay? So this is we'll get there one day. The Simen Chaf, the 20th chapter of Egeres HaKodesh, which starts, God and his life is one, God and his effects is one. It's a statement from the Zohar. The Hasidim looked at that chapter as a litmus test to their sensitivity to Hasidic thought. And every once in a while they would learn it to see how sensitive or how less sensitive am I now that I'm learning this chapter again. Okay, we do it
still don't get in this
yearly.
Times.
Yeah, we do it yearly when we do chitas. Okay, you can judge now if you know how much you didn't get it this year.
We haven't understood it
versus,
yet, so I'm doing
versus
good.
How much didn't I understand it last year, and how much am I not understanding it this year?
Yeah.
Okay, hopefully your not understanding of it this year is on a higher level than your not understanding it last year.
The not part?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the not part's on a higher level.
The not part of understanding it.
It's hard to keep it.
To know what you don't know is also a very big level. So
I don't know what I don't know.
That's really bad. That's if you don't know what you don't know, then you know you're
just know that I don't know it.
That's if you know what you don't know, then you know where you got a head. If you don't even know where you got a head, anyway. So the
usually found a table.
So the person, this person now is a Baal Tshuva because he's there. He's not going back. He's just getting closer. This is what we call a Baal Tshuva. He's getting closer to Hashem because Leis Machshava Tefisa Beklal, Leis Machshava Tefisa Be Tomorrow. No thought can grasp Hashem today, no thought can grasp Hashem tomorrow. And he's still doing it. Okay, the idea of doing something wrong, nah. He's too busy trying to think about Hashem. Okay, the Hainas Sha'al Yedei Shinizboinim V'Gedoilus Hashem. That means to say, by the fact that he meditates in the greatness of Hashem, Bahamek is Hadas, and here he throws in this word with the depth of his Das, meaning to say that not only is it enough that I'm going to read concepts, and I'll memorize the mimer, that I'll be able to say it back word for word with perfect clarity, and to be able even to explain it, and you know what that is? That's basically just parroting. Okay, but I understand what it says over there. But Hasidus is not something you can understand. You're talking about such ethereal concepts. It says you'll understand. So this is the difference between Gemara and Hasidus.
Uh-huh.
Gemara, you're talking about a cow, you're talking about an ox, you're talking about this guy grabbing onto this, you're talking about this. You understand what it's talking about. You got have these things, you know it, that you can relate to them in 3D. Okay? But that's not what they're talking about. They're really talking about very lofty spiritual concepts. That part we don't get at all. We're talking about Hasidus. So what are we talking about? Lofty spiritual concepts. So you know what it is, what you're talking about. Oh, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about lofty spiritual concepts, but you haven't got a clue what it's talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about the title, Lofty Spiritual Concepts. Okay.
As the Fitzy Lips Girl was someone used to say, any way you understand this, it's probably idolatry.
It's wrong, it's wrong, yeah.
Idolatry.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
So, and he was talking about himself, you know, so... yeah. So, but this now, but if the person... a person has to take it one step further, and because God gave us a brain with three compartments in it, and we have to use the third compartment too, just as much as you know 2 and 2 is 4. You have to know about what Hashem is. You have to know that there is a Hashem. We can talk, we can rationalize, you know, it must be, you know, first cause, like the Rambam says, all this stuff going on. Okay, but that's not enough. We have to have this sense of connectedness to this Hashem that we can't even think about. Okay?
So we have to grasp what we can grasp, but keep and hang on and grasp some more. And no, we're never going to get it all, but we're...
As far as your understanding is going to go, you're never going to get there by understanding, but when you take it that step further and feel what it is that you're not understanding, because you do have those words over there. We do have the Chassidus. We have these esoteric concepts. And the Rebbe does explain it in the book, which was, it's, you know, Inyan HaShel Teres HaChassidus, which was translated and called The Essence of Chassidus. You ever learned it? You read through it? The Essence of Chassidus? I just, yeah, highly recommended.
Yes, I've read some of it.
As far as Chabad translations go, I would say it is the best translated piece that Chabad has put out, as far as translation goes. Yeah, it was done actually by a lady. So, which probably, you know, explains why.
Explains it very well.
I wouldn't call it, actually, she's a woman. She's a professor of English literature. So,
explains it.
And did a dynamite job. It's called The Essence of Chassidus. And
I think it's On the Essence.
On the Essence of Chassidus, yes.
On the Essence.
I just had it in my hand and it was like, it was over here and I put it someplace else. Not aesthetic. So, they just recently reprinted it. So the
Kahos,
yeah.
It's in the Hasidic Heritage Series brought to you by Kahos.
Have they incorporated into the
source for Jewish books?
Have they incorporated into the Hasidic Heritage thing? Because it was translated in 1978, long before Hasidic Heritage.
It is in the Heritage Series. That's okay. Where I saw it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
It is not bedtime reading, but but they did such a dynamite job of it that you could know it thoroughly well. Okay, so that's generally why I don't teach it, because I just read the English and read the notes, because she did a great job with it. So it says over there, so what the first question is, in Chassidus comes around in 1734, the Baal Shem Tov is on the scene, da 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 da, here I am, Chassidic philosophy. Everybody has to learn this stuff, okay? And what about for the previous 2,000 years, 2,500 years? People didn't need to learn it? And the answer is...
Some did.
Correct. Some, and the most didn't. Most people did. Got by not needing to learn Chassidus. We didn't need to learn Chassidus. And now in our generation, and who was it that was learning Chassidus in the 1730s, 50s, 80s, 1800s, etc.?
Most brilliant minds.
Brilliant people.
Most brilliant minds, that's right.
The Alter Rebbe didn't have Tanya classes in his living room for ladies.
For people like me.
Or me either. Yeah. No, the Alter Rebbe taught Tanya to people who were Bucky and Kola Tarakula. That was grade one.
Right. That was...
Okay, that's what the Alter Rebbe was thinking.
That allowed you in the door.
Yes. Okay. And then over the course of the generation, so it was seen in the different rabbis and the different philosophies, so that, you know, Baruch Hashem, you can go online and you can hear J.B. Gordon telling jokes in the middle of a Tanya class, you know, making very entertaining on Chabad.org. You know, so...
your source for the Jewish internet.
Thank you for the commercial there. Yeah. Anyway, so the... this Hamekis Hadas that we want to talk about over here, this idea of this feeling connected to Hashem. So this person, this is now, how does a person realize, oh yeah, I'm a Baal Tshuva? Not anybody's going to pat themselves on the back and say, I'm a Baal Tshuva. No. Because you got a long way to do if you did. A person shouldn't sit down and make chashbainos if they're a Baal Tshuva yet. You know, am I a Beinoni yet? Yeah, no, that's a total waste of time. Okay. So, am I a Beinoni yet?
You said before, if somebody says, I think I'm a Beinoni, they're definitely...
definitely not.
We got that figured out.
Yeah, because
that was the first day I remember.
Umaylid meruach binasei dechila v'rechima sichlin. Because what happens then is an interesting process that goes on now. When the person does get into this groove and he feels his connectedness to Hashem, what happens now is his das is divided into two compartments: the right side of das and the left side of das. The right side of Das is Chesed of Das, and the left side of the Das is the Gevura of Das. The reason why we have our tefillin, we have four compartments in the Shel Rosh, is to correspond to the four compartments of the brain, which are Chachma and Bina on the left side and the right side, and then Das, which is in the back, which is broken into two, the right side and the left side. Okay, so you have three, which are really four, as far as compartments go. And those, at that point, what we have is something called a intellectual emotion. We just said before that intellect and emotions are totally opposite one to the other.
That's.
But now we have something called an intellectual emotion. Because... how could it possibly be? How are we going to bridge intellect to emotion? In order to bridge two things, you have to have a coupling. Especially if they're opposing forces one to the other. You need to have something to join them together. So there's something called intellectual emotions, and there happens to be something called emotional intellect as well. Okay, so you have the intellect, the emotions of the intellect, which is what we have over here, bridging towards the intellect of the emotions, which are found in the heart, which we'll talk about later. Okay, once we have that coupling, we can relate now. We have something, we have an intellect that can relate to an emotion that can relate to an intellect. So now, the intellect, which is in our brain, can have an effect on the emotions that are in our heart. And so it starts where how's the process start? Is he understands, he knows, he feels, this is something that should cause me to love Hashem. Okay, now how do you know if you're in love with something, your heart goes ba-bum, 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 okay? So, but that's not necessarily 100% true. Okay, think of your first pet. Did you have a pet when you were a kid? Sure. Okay, so think of your first pet. You loved your first pet. Now, thinking about it right now, you're thinking about how it was that I loved my first pet without you actually feeling. You're starting to gush and blush over here. You must. I don't want to know what your first pet was and what you named it. So, but you can, you have this, you could describe, describe to yourself. You don't have to describe it to me. Describe to yourself this feeling that you had as a little kid towards this first pet. That's already, it's an intellectual thing. Well, you're shaking your head no. You're thinking about your first pet. Okay.
No, I'm a dog guy.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm thinking, that's what I'm saying, think of your first one. Okay? If you can think back that far, you probably had one before you were born, you had a pet.
Everest. All my dogs
are were named after mountains. Okay, thank you. That's why, because the first one was named after a mountain. That's right. If the your mother would have named the dog Huron, then all your dogs would be named after lakes.
That was the cat.
That's what you're doing.
It's very funny. Okay.
I believe you.
He means it.
Okay, so what have your successive cats been named? Hokey-Chokey and...
After presidents.
Oh, presidents.
Okay. I named after volcanoes. You should find them.
I had Roosevelt.
Okay.
After Teddy, not Franklin.
Uh-huh. But you haven't had a Reagan yet. Okay. Yeah, okay. And I don't want to know what you name your goldfish. I'm not going there. Okay, so you have... But that's a very bad example. Okay, just to let you know. But you have... So what you have is your brain's telling you... Yeah, this is something that you should have an emotional feeling towards. It's your brain dictating it. You need to have an emotional feeling about this thing. It's totally and completely intellect. You could stop right there. Okay, and it's there's a discussion in Lakuta and Torah Ur about the neck. Because the neck is called the Meitzer Hagoran. It's called the Mitzrayim. It's called the Egypt. It's the narrowest part on a person's body. Because you basically need to plunge all of this intellect through these small little pipes into the torso. It's basically the graphic design of it. Okay? It wasn't actually very cost effective, you know, but I suppose it works for what it needs to do. But if Hashem really wanted to, he should have made us more cube-like. Would have been a whole lot easier if our heads were the same width as our necks, is the same width as our shoulders.
It could be spherical, it'd be even better.
I don't want to roll down mountains. Okay, yeah, so.
I don't want to go Cuban down mountains, it's worse.
Have you ever seen the Dominican suit?
Yeah, he's pretty spherical. Yeah. Anyway, I was going to think about something like that, but anyway, so. You could stop right there with the intellectual emotion. The emotional intellect. So the midei sichliim. It's very possible you could just, okay, I'm getting off here. And he talked about this before in a bunch of places in Sefer Shalbanim. It was in the 40s, and he talks about it in chapter 16. The emotions that get stuck. Okay, they get stuck in committee, they get stuck whatever it is that they're getting stuck in. And he mentioned that, by the way, this person has fulfilled the mitzvah. If a person has only done the intellectual emotion, and it's stuck in his intellect, but he knows, I should love Hashem, I should fear Hashem, I've gone through the process, I know what it is, but it hasn't pushed it through his throat, down into his torso. Okay, so good, so he loves Hashem. Okay, we'll give that to him. Moly v'rucha b'vinos v'dechil v'vesichel v'tuv tam v'das b'inyan shenemar le'aves Hashem alokecha. He's really got this thing. He knows it quite well. What does it mean, la'aves Hashem alokecha? He could tell you books about it. Meshum ki hu chayecha. And why? Because Hashem is your life. At this point, since we're talking about tshuva ilah, so we started out with love. Based on what it says in Pirkei Avos, im ein yira ein chachma, im ein chachma ein yira. So the starting point is the emotion. That leads the person to an intellect. The intellect then takes over and leads to a higher emotion. So this is what it says over here. This is now. It's not just, because you could have emotion for emotion, just, you know, get excited. Rah, rah, rah. Okay, it's all very exciting. This God stuff, you know, Judaism, yes, I'm into it, in the groove. But then to stop and think, well, why? So he says, for example, you should love Hashem, ki hu chayecha, because Hashem is your life. Not he gave you life. Hashem is your life.
That makes sense.
It's like, I love myself, therefore I love Hashem.
Breathe it into us.
Exactly. V'lo da'alav is, and not, but we left off in chapter 7 saying, well, you want to do tshuva, okay, fine. you could rely on the natural love that you have for Hashem. You bring that out, blow, you know, take the glowing embers that are deep inside of you and blow on them and rouse the flames and whatnot, etc., etc., etc. Okay, but that's all natural. When the Alter Rebbe was asked to become a Rebbe, I think it was in 1773. I don't know why I'm thinking 1776, but I'm thinking now it was 1773. When he was asked, he was already something, he was appointed, he was already the Maggid of Liozhna, and they asked him to be a Rebbe, because at this point, this is where Rebbes were just starting. With the passing of the Mezitcher Maggid, it was decided that there's not going to be a central organization of Hasidim, like with the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezitcher Maggid.
Mezitcher Maggid passed in 73.
Yes.
So you're saying that the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, was asked to be Rebbe while the Mezitcher not...
After he passed away.
You just said 67.
1773.
Oh,
1773. Yeah, 67. The Alter Rebbe was 12. Yeah, 22. He was a little kid still.
He was in
Mizrich still.
Mizrich.
Yeah, no. But they at that point they still called. I think he had the position of Maggid already. Maggid just means preacher. He's, you know, he'd come back and he'd tell stories. You know, fiery drushes. They didn't ask him. Rebbe is a different thing altogether. Okay, they asked them to take over. Okay, and the Alter Rebbe's one condition was, I'll give you the tools, but you got to do it yourself. Which is
kind of what the Rebbe said.
That's what the Tanya is, yeah, and Tuch, in 1951. Right. He continued that legacy. Mm-hmm. You've already gotten the tools. We have the Dir B'Tachtonim was what the Rebbe said in 1951, and Dir B'Tachtonim was what the Rebbe said in 1991 also. It was the same, the message is clear. You know, in listening to the sichas that I have now on my iPod, so it's like the basic message all the way through, in all the years that I've been listening to, it's basically it's the same thing. The Rebbe, every single sicha is basically it's the same thing, couched in different words, and it's Dir B'Tachtonim.
Doing that on the iPod?
Yeah.
I told you to do that.
Yeah, you did. Okay, thank you. And when I'm driving around in the car, I listen to the sikhs, because who wants to listen to the radio?
Well, who's doing the sikhs?
The Rebbe.
We'll talk.
So, anyway, so the. These are the recordings of the Rebbe.
Yeah.
Huh?
Where do you get them?
I don't even know where I got it from at this point. I have them on my iPod.
No, he's got them.
On my iPod.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'll let you borrow my iPod. Just don't...
I can't put... You can't.
We'll talk about it. Anyway, so...
Show them how to do
it. Anyway, so the... Not to just suffice... in its natural love, because natural love is a lower level of love, and that's the lower level of teshuvah. And our knee-jerk reaction, when you tell somebody, oh, this is the lower level, so everybody's first knee-jerk reaction is, I don't want to do the lower, I want to do the higher. Okay, so, yeah.
Jump steps.
Yeah, you can't jump. As much as we would want to, be serving Hashem as Beinanim, we're not. Okay, so you have to do the natural stuff first and then work from there. V'kein b'yira u'pachad u'boisha k'neida. And so too it is with fear and with dread and humility or embarrassment as is known. The Rebbe makes a diuk on this statement. When it came to Chesed, he just says Ava Misuteris. He just lists there the Ava. Ava is one thing, okay. But when it comes to Yira, so he lists three things over here. You have Yira, fear is an intellectual expression. Pachad is an emotional expression. Busha is an action. They're all in the same kav. As the Rebbe explains it, that that's for the left side. When you draw the spheres in what was referred to as the Eitz Chaim, which is the columns, okay, the three triangles, however you like to call it. So the left side is Bina, another Bina, Gevura, and Yesod. So Bina is Yira, Gevura is Pachad. But there he says, he doesn't say Yesod, he says actually that Busha is Malchus. Because you're Mevayish Mifnei HaMelech, you know, the expression is in the Gemara, or maybe even a Pasuk, is that you're embarrassed before the king. So he calls it Malchus, which means put it into practical. Comes out from this, and we understand the colloquialism, is that a lot more, and the Alter Rebbe explained it in the early 40s, that you get a lot more done out of Yira than you do from Ava. It's understood. A person who's got a love relationship with Hashem, so he's like, hey, this is great, I'm in the groove, everything's cool, man. Me and God were like this, and we're just great buddies. If a person were to stop there, what would he be left with? Christianity. All I got to do is just say, I'm sorry, God, and God loves me again, loves me some more. Okay? Get some water thrown on me, and the rapture's going to come, and I'm going to be saved. Just because I got this water spritzed on me. Okay?
No, they go on.
That's why...
Not all.
Not all of them.
Not all of them.
That's why, in a lot of ways,
Catholic
feel-good Judaism...
A lot of... Most Protestants don't.
...and so on and so forth.
No, they don't.
...in common with Christianity.
I'm not going there.
Every part of it.
I'm not going there. But, well, now we're talking fear.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, the Alter Rebbe never defined...
That all three.
...fear of Hashem... Wow, I've prepared the whole chapter. The Alter Rebbe never defined fear of Hashem as a fear of getting smacked. Because that's pagan. And the paganism which was incorporated into the Christianity. Okay? We have Yira, Pachad, and Boisheth. Yira is this intellectualism. And by the way, how do we call a frum person according to Halacha? It's called a Yira Shemayim. Okay? Not an Oyev Hashem. He's specifically called a Yira Shemayim. Oyev Hashem means I can do anything I want, God's still going to love me. A Yira Shemayim means I'm in the groove. And why am I in this groove is, on the very least, I would be afraid, that was where the intellect comes in, afraid to do anything which would interpose my relationship with Hashem. You call it separation anxiety if you really want to. That's our intellectual Yira. The pacha that a person feels, the great dread, is after a person has now thought about the greatness of Hashem and realizes, you know, infinity is pretty awesome. And then to take that one step further, and what am I? Infinitesimal, that's the busha. I'm not embarrassed because I've done things wrong. I'm standing here with mud on my clothes in front of the king. No, I'm standing in front of the king with such embarrassment because the king is his malchus, because the king is no way comparable to me. I am truly infinitesimal, and the king is truly infinite. So you see why it is that the Alter Rebbe mentions, because the Geras HaTshuva was also written with the same care as the rest of the Tanya. Azai nikris ha'emra vetzis ala afreichin. Then what you have now is you have the mother bird hovering over the chicks, which is the whole introduction into this chapter, to be continued. We're at Hini Iker, right in the middle of the page. And which is Abba, the new thing.
What do we got here? Paragraph.
That's a lot.